Now we go back to the early time. It should be 1926 before we were born, right? I go back there. End of postulancy. My superiors sent me to the novitiate in Krakow. I think the next World Youth Day will be in Krakow. Next World Youth Day. Because that's this year in Brazil, no? So the Pope announced in Poland, that's a place where the Pope before was Krakow. So there will be in memory of the Pope John Paul II, no? So I think 2016, I think, will be over there. Send me to the novitiate in Krakow. And inconceivable joy reigned in my soul. When we arrived at the novitiate, Sister Henry was dying. A few days later, she came to me in spirit after her death and bid me to go to the Mother's Directress of Novice, Sister Margaret, and tell her to ask her confessor, Father Rosbond, to offer one Mass for her and three ejaculatory prayers. At first, I agreed, but the next day, I decided I would not go to Mother Directress because I was not sure whether this had happened in a dream, in reality, or in reality. So I did not go. The following night, the same thing was repeated more clearly. I had no more doubts. Still in the morning, I decided not to tell the directress about it unless I saw her, Sister Henry, during the day. 100% sure. At once, I ran into her in the corridor. Sister Henry. She reproached me for not having gone immediately, and a great uneasiness filled my soul. So I went immediately to Mother Directress and told her everything that had happened to me. Mother responded that she would take care of the matter. At once, peace reigned in my soul. And on the third day, the sister came to me and said, "May God repay you, Sister Henry." The day I took the religious habit, God let me understand how much I was to suffer. I clearly saw to what I was committing myself. I experienced a moment of the suffering. But then God filled my soul again with great consolations. So our life is more or less suffering, eh? Your life in Hong Kong suffer more than joy, right? And then the people in the Philippines make you suffer at times, right? Look at your husband or your children. You know, that's we are chosen to follow Jesus. It should have the peace. It's a passion. But like Sister Faustina, it's peace. If you lose peace, you lose everything. Toward the end of the first year of my novitiate, darkness began to cast its shadow over my soul. Not always brighter. You imagine the whole book as if all the brightness of no. She suffered so much. I have to make a great effort to meditate. Disturbed them sometimes. Come from nowhere. God allowing. So at times when you come to the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, it's very holy place. But at times your mind went wild. You don't know what happened. It's just going deeper into myself, I could find nothing but great misery. It's true. So much misery in ourselves. I could also clearly see the great holiness of God. I did not dare to raise my eyes to Him, but reduced myself to dust under His feet and begged for mercy. My soul was in this state for almost 6 months. Our beloved Mother Directress encouraged me in these difficult moments, but this suffering became greater and greater. It's fortunate in the convent we have the spiritual directors and their confessors accompany us, but it doesn't mean, we are saved, but we are not really, you're on the right path, but still you have to suffer. It doesn't mean you have the spiritual directors and then you are okay. Yeah, they take your hand, but still you walk rough road. The second year of the novitiate was approaching. Whenever I recalled that I was to make my vows, my soul shuddered. I didn't understand what I was reading. I could not meditate. It seemed to me that my prayer was displeasing to God. You know, this is temptations. It's God make us, cleanse us all this rubbish. So we have to just purity of intention, humility. The last thing is charity. It seemed to me that my prayer was displeasing to God. It seemed to me that by approaching the Holy Sacrament, I was offending God even more. At times we say scrupulous, but God allowing. But despite this, my confessor, Father Theodo, did not let me omit one single Holy Communion. She's afraid to receive Holy Communion. She's so miserable, so sinful, not worthy. So that's the encouragement from the spiritual director. Go, by order. This is the order. God was working very strangely in my soul. I didn't understand anything at all of what my confessor was telling me. The simple truths of the faith became incomprehensible. Before enter the convent, so everything is so simple, suddenly all the mess, lost in the wonderland, darkness. My soul was in anguish, unable to find comfort anywhere. Even you talk to the spiritual director, talk to the confessor, your soul was not soothed, still missing something. No light, complete darkness. At a certain point, there came to me the very powerful impression that I am rejected by God. This terrible thought pierced my soul right through. In the midst of the suffering, my soul began to experience an agony of death. I wanted to die, but could not. But the thought came to me, of what use is it to strive for virtues? Why mortify oneself when all this is disagreeable to God? When I make this known to the directress of novices, I receive this reply, "No, sister, that God has chosen you for great sanctity. There is a sign that God wants to have you very close to Himself in heaven. Have great trust the Lord Jesus." So already prepare herself for the trust for divine mercy, Trust. So in the beginning, she had to learn if herself, she's a general secretary, of the divine mercy. If she didn't go through all this, how does she know other people? That dreadful thought of being rejected by God is actual torture suffered by the damned. It's as if she was in hell. No light, darkness completely, no taste, and cannot die. If she can die, finish, but he cannot, he have to suffer. I fled to Jesus once and repeated the words of trust, but these words became for me an even greater torture, as if nothing could happen. You trust, but nothing happened. I went before the Blessed Sacrament. I began to speak to Jesus. Jesus, you said that a mother would sooner forget the infant than God, his creature. And that, even if she would forget her infant, I, God, will never forget my creature. Oh, Jesus, do you hear how my soul is mourning? Die to hear the painful whimpers of your child. I trust in your God, because heaven and earth will pass, but your word will last forever. Now this is from the mind, but still, the heart is still suffering. Still, I found not a moment of relief. One day, just as I had awakened, when I was putting myself in the presence of God, I was suddenly overwhelmed by despair. Wow. Completely. Complete darkness in the soul. I thought, as best I could till noon. I thought as best I could till noon. In the afternoon, truly deadly fears began to seize me. A physical strength began to leave me. I went quickly to my cell, fell on my knees before the crucifix and began to cry out for mercy. Nobody can help. Not with mistress, not with the directress, cannot help. Confessor cannot help. Went to the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, still darkness. She went to her bed and cried, kneeling down before the bed and crying. But Jesus did not hear my cries. I felt my physical strength leave me completely. So you understand much better now. Many times you cried as if nobody's listening. Sister Faustina went through. I fell to the ground, despair flooding my whole soul. I suffered terrible tortures, no way different from the torments of hell. That's Jesus also experiencing on the cross. God, God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus himself on the cross, as if he went through hell. No night at all, before he was still with God the Father, you know, with him, all the suffering, and suddenly even on the cross, God, God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus went through exactly this hellish experience. No light. Terrible. I suffered terrible tortures, in no way different from the torments of hell. I was in this state for 3/4 of an hour. I wanted to go and see the directors, but it was too weak. I wanted to shout, but with no voice. Fortunately, one of the sisters came into my cell, finding me in such a strange condition. She immediately told the directress about it. But I came at once. As soon as she entered the cell, she said, "In the name of holy obedience, get up from the ground." Immediately, some force raised me up from the ground, and I stood up close to the dear mother directress. With kind words, she began to explain to me that this was a trial sent to me by God, saying, "Have great confidence. God is always our Father, even when He sends us trials. Even in darkness, still trust." So imagine next time when you despair, if nobody understand, as you crying and no response, this is sacred obedience. Stand up. get up. Just so good, eh? It's already good for the whole week we can live. Disobedience. I returned to my duties as I had come out from the tomb. My senses saturated with what my soul had experienced. So tired, exhausted. During the evening service, my soul began to agonize again in terrible darkness. I felt that I was in a path to just God, that was the object of his indignation. During these terrible moments, I said to God, Jesus, who in the gospel compare yourself to a most tender mother? I trust in your words because you are truth and life. In spite of everything, Jesus, I trust in you in the face of very terrible interior sentiment which sets itself against hope. Do what you want with me. I will never leave you because you are the source of my life. Only one who has lived through similar moments can understand how terrible is this torment of the soul. So don't worry. Faustina, understand your suffering. Each one is different. God allow it. During the night, the Mother of God visited me, holding even Jesus in her arm. My soul was filled with joy. And I said, Mary, my mother, do you know how terrible I suffer? Time of consolation. You know how much I suffer? Do you understand? And the Mother of God answered to me, I know how much you suffer, but do not be afraid. I share with you your suffering, and I shall always do so. So you see, our Heavenly Mother is always long. Jesus, of course, his love is always there, but Heavenly Mother, she knows. She is our mother also. She smiled warmly and disappeared. Consolation, motherly consolation, you know. So, when you want to cry, our Heavenly Mother is there too. She knows. She's allowing you, but don't despair. Advanced strength and a great courage sprang up anew in my soul. But then after only one day, it seems as though hell had conspired against me. A terrible hatred began to break out in my soul. A hatred for all that is holy and divine. You see, this is temptation. What is holy, where is sanctity, becomes hatred. But this is sudden, satanic way. Jesus allowing us to suffer. It seemed to me that these spiritual torments would be my lot of the rest of my life. Wow. No way out. Always the tunnel. I turned to the Blessed Sacrament and said to Jesus, Jesus, my spouse, do you not see that my soul is dying because of its longing for you? How can you hide yourself from my heart that loved you so insincerely? Forgive me, Jesus. May your holy will be done in me. I will suffer silently like a dove without complaining. I will not allow my heart even one single cry of sorrowful complaint. Now see, this is from her mind. Tell Jesus everything. Okay. Now I like to suffer whatever you, but still, you know, darkness. Okay, this is very deep. So, end of the novitiate, the suffering does not diminish. Whole year. You can imagine. A whole year. Not one day. Only one woman, Mother Mary, came with baby Jesus. Just a kind of consolation for that woman. And then but more than 1 day, and then again until end of the novitiate, another year. You see, imagine every day you get up, hellish experience, no taste, no light. Physical weakness dispenses me from all spiritual exercises. That is to say, they are replaced by brief ejaculation prayers. Good Friday, April 16, 1928, Jesus catches up to my heart into the very flame of his love. This was during the evening adoration. All of a sudden, the divine presence invited me. I forgot everything else. Jesus gave me to understand how much he had suffered for me. This lasted a very short time, an intense yearning and longing to love God. First vows, first professional temporary vows, April 30th, 1928. An ardent desire to empty myself for God by an active love, but a love that would be imperceptible, even to the sisters closest to me. However, even after the vows, darkness continued to reign in my soul for almost half a year. Once when I was praying, Jesus pervaded all my soul. Darkness melted away, and I heard these words within me. You are my joy. You are my heart's delight. From that moment, I felt the most holy Trinity in my heart. That's to say, within myself. I felt I was inundated with divine light. Since then, my soul has been in intimate communion with God, like child with his beloved Father. You see, the whole little 1.5 year, complete darkness, no hope, and you know, now the little lights come in, whoosh, and praise once, This is the preparation of Jesus, you know. We are prepared for so many things, but that is purifying here. Once Jesus told me, go to Mother Superior and ask her to let you wear a hair shirt for 7 days. And once each night, you are to get up and come to the chapel. Ask her to let you wear a hair shirt for 7 days. What is hair shirt? And once each night you are to get up and come to the chapel. I said yes, but I found a certain difficulty in actually going to the superior. In the evening, Jesus asked me, "How long will you put it off?" I made up my mind to tell Mother Superior the very next day. Next time I would see her. The next day before noon, I saw Mother Superior going to the refectory, and since the kitchen, refectory, and Sister Aloysius' little room are all close to each other, I asked Mother Superior to come into Sister Aloysius' room and tell her of the wish of the Lord Jesus. At that, Mother answered, "I will not permit you to wear any hair shirt. Absolutely not. If the Lord Jesus were to give you the strength of a colossus, I would then permit those mortifications." I think it's a dreadful mortification. I apologized for taking up Martha's time and left the room. At the very moment, I saw Jesus standing at the kitchen door, and I said to him, "You command me to ask for these mortifications, but Mother Superior will not permit them." Jesus said, "I was here during your conversation with Superior and know everything. I don't demand mortification from you, but obedience. By obedience, you give great glory to me and gain merit for yourself." Jesus asked more. One of the mothers, when she learned about my close relationship with the Lord Jesus, told me that I must be deluding myself. She told me that the Lord Jesus associates in this way only with the saints and not with sinful souls like you. You see, that's how she suffered. Huh? After that, it was as if I mistrust Jesus. In one of my morning talks with him, I said, "Jesus, are you not an illusion?" Jesus answered me, "But love deceives no one." Okay, so much for today. So, we have to go through. It's not easy, eh? In the end, as if so for sinner, always in paradise, always in light of you, she went through so long, eh? Only one day, the whole year, just a little, some seconds, consolation, and then went through all darkness. Anyway, this is how we have to learn. So we ask Faustina to come to us. She knows how much we suffer. That's why God's willing, she allows that we share her experience so that we are not alone when through all this darkness. And still Jesus promising, "I am with you."